This is the place of extravagant welcome. Come you who know this place well. Come you who've never been here before. Come you who are questioning. Come you who are sure. Come you who are rejoicing. Come you who are grieving. Come you who are Republicans, Democrats, Green Party, and Libertarians. Come you who seek silence. Come you who need to sing. Come together now. Come all of you. Come as you are. Good morning. Welcome to First Congregational Church of Natick. I'm Reverend Cindy Worthington Berry, and no matter who you are or where you are on the journey, you are welcome here. Whether you are with us on site or online, live or later, we are so glad to be connected. For more information about life at FCC Natick, please visit our website where you can sign up for the link, our weekly email newsletter, and get all sorts of information about life at the church as well as the broader community. If you are with us for the first time today, welcome. We are an open and affirming congregation, fully welcoming people of all sexual orientations, gender identities, and gender expressions. Children of all ages are welcome in this community in whatever way is meaningful for you. We have the playground down front. We have lovingly staffed nursery care. Good morning to everybody watching in the nursery. And we have Sunday school after the word for all ages today. Next Sunday is the first Sunday in November, so we will be celebrating communion in our worship service. That service will be led by Reverend Linda Michelle because Sarah Lynn and I will be leading a church retreat on the Cape for a portion of the congregation. The rest of you will be beautifully fed by Reverend Linda Michelle. Today, following worship, we have a coffee chat in the chat room. This one is led by our generosity team. They would love to tell you everything they have learned and are wrestling with in regard to generosity. So join us, those of you who are on site, join us downstairs in the vestry for coffee. And at 11:45, we'll head into the chat room, those who are interested, to hear the wisdom of the generosity team. This fall at FCC Natick, we are building the beloved community. We're grounding ourselves in an image of the world the way God intended it to be. We're creating glimpses of that world when we're together, and we're growing our capacity for bringing that world to life. For those of us feeling anxious in this election season, may this time together give us strength, hope, and peace. As we prepare to light the Christ candle this morning, I invite you to settle your mind, body, and spirit, deepening your breath, relaxing your shoulders, even letting your face smile. Once there was someone who said such amazing things and did such wonderful things that people began to follow him, but they didn't know who he was, so they simply had to ask him. And once he answered, "I am the light that was once in one place at one time is now in all places and at all times. Let us welcome the light."
Good morning, I'm Rick. Please join me in the call to worship. Your response is, "God's love will remain." Through sun and shadow,
God's love will remain.
Through valley and mountaintop,
God's love will remain.
Through rain and rainbow,
God's love will remain.
Through tragedy and triumph,
God's love will remain.
Through loss and victory,
God's love will remain.
Through all that love brings,
God's love will remain.
Come, let us gather with the God of love. So the opening hymn is number 80, "Our God, Our Help in Ages Past," an old favorite. You are invited to rise in body or in spirit.
Thank you.
Our centering prayer this morning is by Robin Robinholt. We begin with a little bit of relative silence. This might be an opportunity for you to recognize what anxieties you've brought with you to worship this morning and prepare to share them with God. Let us pray. O Holy One, may this place be filled with your Spirit. Gentle us into an unclenched moment, a deep breath, a letting go of heavy expectations, of shriveling anxieties, of dead certainties, that softened by your love, surrounded by your light, and open to your mystery, we may be found by wholeness, upheld by the unfathomable, entranced by the simple, and filled with the joy that is you. We practice this as we follow Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
It's hard to even talk about it.
What if you never see things as I do?
What if we never find common ground?
I cannot imagine what will happen to all of us.
I'm not sure I can handle this tension, this pain.
Wait. Breathe. Let the anxiety take a break for just a moment. Breathe again. We are not alone. God is with us. Let us take a deep breath together. The rhythm of our breath and heartbeat is the same. Our desire for life and love is the same. Our desire for a peace with justice is the same. Let this moment fill our souls as we pass God's peace between us. The peace that is meant for all people. Then we'll sing our song of celebration. God's peace be with you.
And also with you. Rick.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the prophet Micah in the Hebrew scriptures.
Micah's community is in trouble. There is corruption in the government and dishonesty in the marketplace. Wealthy and powerful people are buying up small farms and shifting from crops that feed people to crops that bring in lots of money. So those at the margins are suffering, the widow, the orphan, the poor, the stranger, and it's getting worse and worse. The people have broken their covenant with God. The relationship between God and the people is at risk. In this morning's reading, Micah imagines a dialogue between the people and God as they try to figure out how to repair their relationship. And in this dialogue, the people kind of melodramatically offer increasingly significant gifts, and God makes a counteroffer.
We begin with Micah chapter 6, verse 6. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high?
So Micah assumes the people want to repair their covenant with God and imagines them asking what they would need to bring to God to make things better. It sounds a little bit like a spouse trying to make up for the fight the night before. Is this a situation for flowers, chocolate, or jewelry? Watch how the options progress.
Shall I come before God with burnt offerings, with calves a year old?
The people wonder if they should sacrifice a cow. That sounds weird to us today, but it would have been a significant show of commitment to God thousands of years ago.
Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with tens of thousands of rivers of oil?
Okay, that escalated quickly. We went from one cow to thousands of sheep and actual rivers of oil. Sounds like the people are realizing maybe this is a flowers and candy and jewelry situation, or more likely they are trying to make God look unreasonable. What do you want from us, rivers of oil? Or worse.
Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul?
Yeah, the people are asking if human sacrifice is required. Is this what you want, God? Huh? Do we need to surrender our children in order to get back into your good graces? Well, get ready, because Micah is going to tell them what it's going to take to repair their relationship with God.
God has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God?
That's all God wants, that we do justice, love kindness, and walk with God by our side. No jewelry or firstborn required.
Micah's challenge for this, for his community, is our challenge today. May we take his questions seriously and answer them with our very lives.
Amen. Thanks, Rick. Children of all ages are invited to lean in for a word for all ages. Okay, you're not even looking at me. I'm starting to feel like you don't love me over there in the playground. Okay, but you're looking at me, so I'll go with that. Oh, what? You don't have a choice not to look at me. Don't you wish you were sitting in the playground where you also could just, like, ignore me? Remember how important it is that our children are in this space on Sunday morning. That they know that they are part of this community, that they are not the future of the church, that they are the present of the church. All right, so sometimes I get anxious. I get stressed. I get a little worried. Anybody else? We got some hands. We got lots of hands. Okay, maybe I'm worried about everything I haven't gotten done for a meeting. Or I'm stressed because I don't think worship went well. Or I'm anxious because somebody is mad at me. I get that like churning feeling in my stomach. Do I get an amen? Anyone? I'm doing it right now. Like my shoulders come up around my ears. Anybody else? My hands get sweaty. Anybody else get hands, sweaty hands? So for a long time, I have been working with a person named Meg who helps me to do my job better. And she tells me that being anxious or worried is normal. In fact, she says a little bit of anxiousness is good because it gets our attention and it can push us to do something. But too much anxiety and we just feel like crummy and stuck. So Meg tells me I should ground myself in the present. I should ground myself in the present. Doesn't that sound great? Yeah, for the longest time, I had no idea what she was talking about. So Meg taught me 5-4-3-2-1. Does anybody know it? All right, we got some people who know it. All right. So first, like always, we have to remember that we have a body. Does anybody remember that they have a body? So like stretch, wiggle, get yourself a little comfortable. Sometimes people put their hands over their heart. Then we remember how to breathe. Remember that? Oh my gosh, just that feels so much better. Then we name 5 things we can see, and we take a breath between each one. So in this room and at home, let's do that out loud. We don't all have to say the names, the same things, but we're going to say 5 things, and we're going to breathe in between. So I see the balcony. I can't hear you. I see pews. Oh, I see candles. I like that one. I can't hear you. Yell out some more. Piano. Microphones. All right, good. That was good. That was 5 things we can see. Now we're going to talk about 4 things we can touch. So, and we're going to breathe between each one. So, some of us can touch Chloe. We can touch the floor. We can feel our clothes touching our body. We can touch crayons in the playground. All right. 3 things we can hear with a breath between each one. My voice. The electric hum. Lily. 2 things we can smell. An awesome old building. Maybe the perfume of someone sitting near us. And then 1 thing we can taste. I got toothpaste. You might have coffee. 5-4-3-2-1 helps us get out of our heads and ground it in our bodies, the present, into right here and right now. It might not make all the anxiety go away, but it helps us work with all those feelings. This is a kind of prayer. We believe God is in all the things we hear and see and taste and smell and feel. So paying attention to the things around us can draw us closer to the God who is always with us. So for a quick refresher, let's just say it with me. 5 things you can see, 4 things you can hear, 3 things you can touch, 2 things you can smell, 1 thing you can taste. All right. As our kids get ready to head off to Sunday school, let's send them with a blessing. Living God, surround these children and all children with your strength and peace and love so that no matter what life may bring, they feel your presence and ours. Amen. Throughout my ministry, I've followed the practice of Election Day sermons that began in colonial Massachusetts. In the 18th century, Election Day was a holiday that began with cannon firing and military exercises, followed by a procession of government officials from the seat of government to a nearby church. With the most politically important members of the community listening carefully, pastors were expected to preach for several hours sermons that addressed the issues facing voters. No parade today, no cannon firing, and I certainly will not preach for several hours. Plus, we've been talking about the election throughout the fall, the urgency of the issues, the weight of our anxiety, the importance of communicating, etc. But this is my last chance to preach before the polls close on November 5th, so I will take one more opportunity to reflect on this intersection of the election and our faith. Our second reading this morning is called Prayer Ballot. It was written by Luke Stevens Royer. I understand he wrote this for the 2016 presidential election. Hear his words. I walk in as on pilgrimage. The altar cloths are red, white, and blue. The ushers are the women who have been running these things, who have been running everything since before I was born. I'm handed the ballot like a scroll because the questions seem that important, ancient and modern, of what my God and country ask of me. Who? Who for commissioner, mayor, president? Who for District 8, Ward 7, school board? Who will do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly? I make my mark with at least a shred of hope that something good will come from this. And regardless, I remember, the world won't be destroyed entirely by this. The world won't be saved entirely by this. Marking my vote is like kneeling in prayer, because neither will accomplish anything right away. But the purpose of both is to remind me of my deepest hope for the world I'm trying to help create. So I rise from prayer and turn in my ballot and remember the who is me and us and we the people. And again, I set the task that is mine, justice, mercy, humble service in my small corner of the world. Amen. So my throat is already dry, so I'm going to get a cough drop, so just hang on. January 20th, 2025. Day one. If all goes according to plan, the United States will have a new president on January 20th, 2025, and that will be their day one. Presidential candidates always talk about, and reporters always ask, what they will do on day one as a way of defining their priorities. Candidates and voters alike sometimes act as if the presidential pen, the one signing the day one executive orders, is some kind of a magic wand, fixing all the problems of our country with just the flourish of a signature. Let's be clear, those executive orders have real impact on real lives. Who we vote for matters in terms of what happens on day one and all the days that follow. But the presidential pen is no magic wand, no matter who is holding it, no matter what their followers think. The problems of our country will not be solved by any one person, and certainly not on day one. So as much as I am interested in what the next president of the United States will do on January 20th, 2025, I'm just as interested in what we the people will do on January 20th and 21st and all the days to come. So let's imagine we the people are going to sign our own executive orders on January 20th, 2025. What might they be? And when I say we the people, I mean the people of FCC Natick and the whole country, but you are the ones stuck listening to me for the next 10 minutes. So maybe the first executive order of we the people could be that we will all roll up our sleeves, or keep them rolled up, as the case may be. There are a lot of complicated, devastating problems in this country. Climate change, migration and housing, mental health, addiction and isolation, racism, high prices and low opportunity. These aren't going to be solved by one pen held on one person, by on one day or 4 years. These are big, gnarly problems that are going to need us working together. Politicians and the government play a role, for sure they do, but they can't do it all, and often they don't bring the most creative, egalitarian, community-oriented solutions to the table. And if the next president decides these things don't matter, then it's up to us to tell them otherwise and do the work together. So on day one, I hope we the people will sign our own executive order promising to roll up our sleeves and do justice. Maybe a second executive order on day one would declare that we the people will neither gloat nor hold contempt for those who voted differently. In 2000, I signed a pledge with the organization Braver Angels called With Malice Toward None. The organization challenged all of us, whether we were pleased or upset with the outcome of that election, to seek to understand the concerns and aspirations of those who voted differently, rather than holding hate, disdain, or ridicule. Leading up to that election, I noticed I was struggling a little bit with the yard signs my neighbors put up for the candidate I was not supporting. I needed some help holding myself accountable, so I signed the pledge. Maybe this time, we the people could all commit to seek to understand those who vote differently from ourselves. Maybe we'd learn something, grow together, and find ways to tackle those big, gnarly problems. Sometimes I think that the powers that be want us divided, so we're not focused on working together to bring about the changes that we all want. Even worse, sometimes the powers that be try to keep us silent for fear of repercussions. But silence is not an option in the face of the crises before us. When I woke up this morning, I read some headlines that made me want to trash this whole reflection and deliver a rant based on my personal convictions, lightly disguised as a sermon. It was a good moment to remember that my job here is not to rile up a community in righteous indignation based on my own views, but to try to listen for the hard work God is calling us to do in this beautiful, broken world. So on day one, I hope we the people, and especially me personally, will sign an executive order to work on understanding each other and practicing loving kindness. Maybe a final executive order would make it a priority from day one to see every living thing as part of the body of Christ. So, okay, that kind of language won't work because we live in a diverse country where we don't require a particular set of religious beliefs or any religious beliefs at all, and that is a value we cherish. So we need to make it something like, we recognize that we are all connected and what hurts one of us hurts us all. Does that work? But since I'm talking to you all, I'm going to refer to this executive order that calls us to see God in each other and every living thing. And even for folks in a worship service, that might sound a little touchy-feely. Is that important enough to be an executive order on day one? We keep hearing about the dangers to our health caused by isolation and how hard it is for adults to form meaningful relationships and the mental health crisis our young people are experiencing by seeing their world through the lens of social media. And the despair that people feel in light of climate change, wondering if this life has meaning. So imagine if we all saw the awkward queer youth as a bit of God in the world. If we knew the elder living with dementia was giving us a glimpse of God. If we recognized the divine life force within the plants and animals that fuel our bodies. What if, starting January 20th, 2025, we all agreed that both Kamala Harris and Donald Trump both bear the divine spark? That the card-carrying member of the NRA and the unreviewed migrant are both glimpses of the holy? That all 12 members of the Supreme Court are part of the body of Christ, not to mention you and me. Recognizing we're all connected means we can't just ignore each other, write each other off as hopeless, And we're not hopeless because we carry a bit of God within us. Instead, we hold every part of Christ's body accountable for letting that divine spark shine, rather than burying it under ego and hatred and a desire for power. Seeing God in every living thing also means we don't stand by when that glimpse of God is being targeted because they are brown or female or poor or gay. With our words and our actions and our lives, we will care and advocate for every living thing, knowing what happens to them happens to us too. So on day one, I hope we the people will sign an executive order to see the divine in each other and walk with that God by our side. On day one and beyond, we the people can't just sit back and wait to see what a new president does one way or another. It's up to us to build the beloved community. And if that's the case with January 20th, 2025, why not October 27th, 2024? Why not make this day one? That way, no matter who is elected, we already will have our sleeves rolled up and we'll be working to understand each other and seeing ourselves as connected to each other and all carrying a bit of the divine spark. The prophet Micah spoke to a community at a critical moment, weighing who they would be and how they would live. We're at a similar critical moment in this country as we draw near the presidential election. But really, aren't we always at that critical moment, deciding who we will be and how we will live as individuals, as a church, as a nation? So let this be our day one, and let this be our executive order, that we will do justice, and we will love kindness, and we will walk with God by our side. Amen. As a faith community, we know the power of connecting our hearts with God's presence. So during this time, we share our joys and concerns in prayer. Folks in the room, you'll be invited to share yours aloud, and all are welcome to email prayers to prayers@fccnatick.org. And we hold in prayer everyone on the prayer list in the bulletin. We begin with our joys. What joys do you bring to this place today? Doug. Last night was our annual tradition of a silent movie, all organized by our Minister of Music, Tom. And I wasn't able to be here, but I know like the movie was great. And I, having been with the musician before, I'm sure the music was fabulous as well. Yeah. Carolyn. The The trunk or treat yesterday, our first annual trunk or treat, was an overwhelming success. Huge thanks to Robin and Jeff for organizing and everybody who participated. And yes, Doug Flutie showed up in the Batmobile, and I kind of still haven't recovered from how surreal that was. It was full of joy. Yeah, Heather. Heather is offering a blessing of send-off for people who are going on the treat, which includes you. So yes, bless. Sarah Lynn and I are greatly looking forward to working with folks on retreat next week. Laura. Laura, what a great joy. Laura is lifting up that she and Charles are celebrating that this year, three of their granddaughters will be voting in the presidential election for the first time, and that they're taking this responsibility very seriously. That's beautiful, Laura. And since sitting right next to Laura is one of the joys on my list today, it is wonderful to see Lorraine in the sanctuary this morning, doing so much better after dealing with like a whole bunch of health issues. We're so glad you're here today, Lorraine. Let's see. Do you have any up there, Lane?
Well, I have a personal joy.
You do?
Yeah, I'm a very and a concern. I'm very happy that Jeff was able to give a jump to the Batmobile yesterday.
No way.
Yeah. And I'm just a little concerned, or maybe disappointed, that a little Fiat could give the Batmobile a jump. I thought you needed like a nuclear reactor to get the Batmobile going, but a little Fiat can do it.
I'm so bummed I missed that. So apparently the Batmobile's battery died and Jeff's little go-kart was able to give him a jump, which is fabulous. I'm really surprised that wasn't in the pictures that Jeff has already sent our way. I just didn't see them all, I guess. That is a joy. Who am I missing? Oh, Dee Dee. So Dee Dee is celebrating our church's ministry with Open Door, which provides a meal every week to the community. One of the cool things about last Monday's meal was that it was actually the Caring Coalition. It was representatives of FCC Natick as well as other religious communities in the area coming together to collaborate to provide that meal. And I love this model of not just doing good work ourselves, but working with other religious communities to amplify the impact we can have. Thank you for lifting that up, Dee Dee. We all missed Declan when he was lounging on the beach, and so it is so good to see him this morning. Oh, and Declan has a joy. I don't think it's a coincidence that Declan is the Batman for Halloween and was the Batman driving the Batmobile yesterday. Declan has just returned from, we've got an ad this morning for both Aruba and JetBlue. Declan gives both a thumbs up as well as whatever gummies were helping him pop his ears. Declan, we're so happy to see you back in our midst this morning. Thumbs up, thumbs up. Do I have all the joys? Oh, Sharon. Huge thanks to Sharon and the Welcome Team for hosting the film Will and Harper this past week, where folks were able to gather and reflect not just on this story of friendship, but also the experience of being transgender in the U.S. It's a helpful movie for getting access to that. Thank you, Sharon. What concerns do you bring to this place today? Doug. We hold in our prayers the family of a gentleman who's doing some work at Doug's house who had to take a break because his wife is having their third child and is dealing with very high blood pressure, so he needs to be with her. So prayers for that couple, for that family, and also prayers of gratitude for people who are understanding that life happens and that that's the priority. I have a couple. Yesterday, we were praying for Alex, Miriam's brother in Chile. Alex had gone missing, and Alex lives with schizophrenia, and so the family was particularly concerned as to where he might be and what might be happening. We understand he was missing, he was found, but he was far from home, and they don't necessarily understand both how he got there or why it just amazingly worked out that his younger brother was there and found him. So we are holding Miriam's family in our prayers with the gratitude that her brother was found, but also the knowledge of how stressful it is to work with, have a family member who's living with schizophrenia and wanting to both care for them and protect them. So we hold Miriam's family in our prayers. And also Pam's mom, Lois, fell this past week and broke her leg. She's been in the hospital. She's now going to be moving to rehab for about 3 weeks. She is in her 90s. There's not a lot they can do for her leg. So we hold Pam's mom, Lois, as well as Pam in our prayers. Lane, do you have any more up there? Okay. Our prayer this morning will focus on the words of St. Francis of Assisi. My hope is that this would be an opportunity to still our minds, breathe deeply, and settle into God's presence. Let us pray. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Imagine if we replaced this building's slate roof with solar panels. Don't start panicking about radical change to a historical structure. I'm just imagining. Actually, solar panels on the roof, that was one of the things imagined by council members at a recent council meeting. And it became kind of a fantasy for me this week when we had a crew in to repair the slate shingles on the roof again. If imagining solar panels on the roof isn't your cup of tea, how about a student minister? Increased endowment? An alternative worship service? These are just a few more of the possibilities that council imagined for FCC Natick. We are 2 weeks away from celebrating our fall generosity campaign. We've invited everyone to consider becoming a sustainer of the ministry of FCC Natick, sharing their plans for financial giving to the church in 2025. We'll be celebrating those commitments on November 10th and invite you to bring your form with you to worship that day. And if you don't have one, we have extra. But some folks can't wait. They have been submitting their form early, so we are celebrating 20 sustainers already, even before we get to November 10th. And especially if you can't join us for November 10th, please feel free to send yours in early too. As we participate in the spiritual discipline of the morning offering today, in this room we'll pass the plates from person to person up and down each row. If you're adding a donation to the plate, we invite you to place it with intention, remembering the generations before us who sustained this ministry through so many challenges and changes. If you don't have money to put in the plate, you can still hold it with intention before passing it on, offering gratitude to the generations before. Folks at home, you don't need to have an offering plate handed to you to join in as well. You can just hold your hands and breathe in and out in prayer. Amen.
Thank you.
God of abundance, bless these gifts and the world that needs them, that we might know we are all bound by your love. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 407, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. You may be seated. Hear these words by Frederick Buechner. Beloved, may God bless you, keep you, be gracious to you. May God give you grace never to sell yourself or God short. Grace to risk something big for something good. Grace to remember that the world is now too dangerous for anything but truth and too small for anything but love. So may God take our minds and think through them. May God take our lips and speak through them. May God take our hands and do good with them. May God take our hearts and set them on fire. Go in peace. Amen.